how can you and I know how to handle crisis and decision time in our lives? I mean, are we just going to guess, or are we going to be able to calmly say, this is the best course of action that I could take right now? Our key verse for this series has been James 1:5. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. So, we've been talking about God's will and how you can know God's will for your life. In this verse, it says, if you want to know what God wants you to do, well, what God wants you to do is what is commonly referred to as His will. And let me remind you of our working definition for God's will. Here it is. God's will is the direction I would choose for my life if I could see things from God's perspective. Did you get it? It's the direction that I would choose for my life if I could see things from God's perspective. With God's will, the verse says, all we have to do is ask Him, and He'll tell us. That sounds easy enough for us, right? There's a process to this asking and listening with God. How do you hear from God? God is speaking and guiding you in your life. Because God says simply that if we want to know what to do, just ask Him. He'll tell us. That way we'll know what direction for our lives that He has. Now, having said that, God wants you to know what His will for our life is, what He has planned for us, let me tell you what we're going to talk about today. Today, we're going to talk about how do you stay on course? Because you see, it's one thing to hear from God. It's one thing to have clarity from God. So this is what I need to do. Yet, it's quite another to stay on that course. It's quite another when the days kind of just start to roll by and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of progress being made to keep your focus, to not deviate from the course that God has for your life. So let's talk about that. Let me give you three dangers of getting off course. Because what I want you to know is when you get off course in your life, it can bring you harm. Let me give you all three of these and then we'll talk about them. I will miss relationships that God has for me. I will miss opportunities that God has for me. I will miss spiritual growth that God has for me. Now, these three areas of your life, relationships, opportunities, and spiritual growth, we would all agree these are important. I mean, relationships in our lives matter, opportunities that come our way, either for career or education matter, and that our spiritual growth matters. Well, what I want you to understand is that when you veer off course, you can miss God's best in all three of these areas for your life. And it's very deceiving because no one wakes up one morning and makes the decision, today I'm going to get off course for my life. Today I want to ruin everything. Life doesn't work that way. It's a lot more subtle. What typically happens is someone starts to veer off course, and it's unnoticed at first. But then as they continue on that course, it projects out into a way and will one day, they'll wake up and find themselves in a place that was never chosen. And they think, how did I ever get here? You see, it's very similar if you make a wrong turn. Have you ever done that? Either walking somewhere or driving somewhere. Maybe you make one wrong turn. And then from that point on, every other turn just makes it worse. And you end up somewhere where you never intended to be. Here's what I want you to know. It's not God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life does not bring on danger and harm and consequence. But what I want you to know, this is kind of scary, is He won't stop us when we start to veer. You see, God won't stop you when you start to veer off course. He lets you make your own choices. And oftentimes, the deception that's found in this is, as we're making choices, they don't seem to be bringing a lot of consequence in the moment. We don't really seem to be setting off alarm bells that says, danger, danger. And so we're not always aware that what we're doing is actually leading us into danger. And a person says, well, God hasn't stopped me. I'm sure I'm not doing anything that's wrong. Well, He won't, because He lets each of us make our own choices. So what I want you to understand is that it's not His will. His will for you is that you stay on course. And when you stay on course, you'll experience the spiritual growth that He has for you. Look at Ephesians 4. It says, we are not meant to remain as children, but to grow up every way in Christ. He says, I want you to grow. He wants you to be prepared for what life brings your way. But if you're veering off course, you're going to miss spiritual growth. You're going to miss out on what God has for you. I know this is strong, so think about this. I could miss God's best for me. And it's strong language, but I want you to understand that you can be placing yourself in a dangerous situation when you veer off course. In fact, the book of Proverbs uses even stronger language. Proverbs 14:14. There is a path before each person which seems right, but it ends in death. And what I want to do for the rest of our time together today is offer you the habits that as you begin to build these into your life, you can't always anticipate what life is going to bring. But if you build these habits into your life, you'll be well prepared at every point, and it'll keep you on the course that God has for your life. We're going to take a look at five habits that will keep all of us on course. Here's the first one. I apply what I read from the Bible. The Bible's a big book. It can be overwhelming at times. But here's what I want you to know. God doesn't want to be a mystery. God doesn't want you to go through life trying to guess and figure out what you're supposed to do. He has a plan, and he wants to let you in on it. And the Bible is one of the key ways that he'll do this. But when we read the Bible, we have to read it with the right attitude. And we have to read it with a goal of application. And then when we do this, what we'll find is that the Bible can help guide us in every situation in our life. Look at what 2 Timothy says. It says, "The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our life. It straightens us out and helps us do what is right. It's God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone." And at the end of this verse, there's a phrase, "fully equipped." You see, the Bible is God's way of making you and me fully equipped for every situation that comes our way. And so maybe it's with work. Maybe it's with a career. Maybe it's with school. Maybe it's with a relationship. Maybe it's friendship, a dating relationship, or marriage. And you're facing a moment of decision and you aren't sure what to do. Well, what the Bible says is God can equip you. God can equip you to know what to do in that situation through the Bible. But it takes our desire to want to apply what he says in the Bible in order to be able to receive guidance. Look at the book of James. It says, "Do not fool yourselves by just listening to the word. Instead, put it into practice." So one of the habits that will keep you on course is reading and applying the Bible. Now, if you just read it and you don't apply it, and you just build up your biblical knowledge, it'll lead to pride. But if you can read a simple truth in the Bible and you can apply it into different situations in your life, you will see God's guidance. I want to give you three words that can help guide this application process, because I know that it can be a little intimidating at first, but you have to start somewhere. So, every time you read the Bible, I want to challenge you to go through this thought process and maybe even journal this down as you go through it. Here's the first phrase, original meaning. Original meaning. Every time you read the Bible, understand that there was an original meaning behind what you were reading. For example, the verse in your notes, 2 Timothy 3, this is a letter from Paul. Now, Paul wrote the majority of the books in the New Testament. And at the end of his life, he's in prison. And he's writing a letter to his protege, Timothy. And in this letter, he's telling Timothy, "Timothy, you can trust the whole Bible. It'll guide you. It'll equip you for whatever you have to do in life." Now, that's the original meaning of the letter of 2 Timothy. Let me give you a second phrase, timeless principle. So even though 2 Timothy was a letter that was written centuries ago, the timeless principle is you can trust the Bible. I mean, it's clearly said in the verse, and Paul is telling Timothy to trust it. So you and I go, that's a principle for my life. I can trust the Bible. Now, the third phrase, apply it to my life. And so you go, okay, Paul told Timothy to trust the Bible. Now, how should I apply that in my life? Well, quite simply, you would find an area in your life that you need guidance on, and you would find out what the Bible says about that area, and then you would apply that in your life. So, for this particular verse, I think the application would be, I need to read the Bible every day, because every day I need guidance. And this verse says that the Bible can equip me. So I know that if you have never done that before, it can be a little challenging at first. Let me give you a couple of books in the Bible to start off with. Proverbs is the wisdom book of the Old Testament. And a lot of the verses in this teaching series came out of Proverbs. The book of James is the wisdom book for the New Testament. And a lot of the verses in our teaching series came out of James. That would be two great books to start from. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John are four separate accounts in the life of Jesus. You can do the same process with any of those four books. I want to challenge you to begin to read and apply the Bible each day of your life. And that'll help you keep you on course. Now, let me give you the second in your our message here. I talk to God with personal prayer. And so now he wants you to read the Bible. He wants you to apply it. And then he wants you to talk to him. And when you talk to God with personal prayers, he wants your prayers to be your words. He doesn't want you to try to make up words to impress him, because he's God. And you probably aren't going to get very far with that anyway. But if you're like me, sometimes it can be difficult, and we're a little hesitant to talk to God about what is really on our minds. And then it seems like we should talk to God on more important things, like global issues or something a lot more important than just the menial things that are going on in my life. But let me let you in on a little secret about God. He already knows what's going on in your life. He already knows every detail of your life. And it's not that he knows it in the sense that he could recite exactly what's going on in your life. Here's what you did on Monday. Here's what you did on Tuesday. What I want you to understand is that God knows what's going on in your life from a heart level. See, God knows what's going on in your life and how you feel about it, and what's important to you, and how you care about it. Maybe it's something that has been all-consuming in your mind for a while now. You see, when I say that God knows the details of your life, it's not surface-level, fact-reciting, understanding. It's a heart-level, I understand you because I made you. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me want to talk to God. Because I realize that who else should I talk to about what's going on in my life than my Creator, than one who knows me better than I know myself, the one who knows what I'm thinking better than I know it myself. And you know, when we talk to God, you know what also happens? It removes worry. Look at what our verse says in Philippians 4. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. So, when you pray, it removes worry. In fact, I love this verse that says that we can pray about everything. Maybe you need a little challenge this week. I want to challenge you to pray about everything. Let me tell you what that might look like in your life. This week, anytime anything pops into your mind that will create anxiety, that will create worry for you in that moment, you just pray about that. And here's how you can do it. Sometimes people call these breath prayers because you kind of say them under your breath. But if something pops into your mind and it creates worry or anxiety, calmly say, God, would you help me with, and then just fill in the blank. That prayer may take 3 seconds. And you say, does that really work? I don't know. Try it. I've seen what God's done in my life. Just try it. Just take God at His word. This week, pray about everything. Just a lot of small, in the moment, not really thought light shining, just prayer. God, I need your help with, and fill in the blank. And let me tell you what'll happen. He'll hear that prayer. And you'll begin to strengthen your relationship with Him. So the habit of prayer will help keep you on course. The third habit that's going to keep you on course is this. I invite my friends to a Sunday service. You say, that's interesting. I didn't anticipate that habit. Well, this habit's important because inviting our friends keeps our focus off of ourselves. So the first two habits talk about how we can grow and develop ourselves. The third habit causes us to focus on others. This is important because the focus that Jesus had while He was on earth was always others. And with your friends, we would all agree they're kind of valuable. I think most of us would agree that our faith is valuable. So it just makes sense that we should introduce our friends to our faith. Maybe you have a friend and you think, well, that sounds good, but I'll tell you right now, they're not interested in faith. They're not interested in God. They're not interested in church. Well, maybe, maybe not. You know that study after study shows that the number one reason people don't attend church was because they had never been invited. The number one reason, any study that has been done, well, I never have been invited. So why don't you just take the opportunity to invite them and see what happens? See what may come of that. I want to let you know that when you do that, you're having the heart of Jesus. In fact, Jesus was so passionate about that. The last thing that he said before he left earth was to focus on others. It's called the Great Commission. It's Matthew 20:19-20. Jesus said this, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." So Jesus said, when you invite your friends, I am there with you. I am there to guide you. I am there to encourage you. Well, let's look at the next habit that will help keep you on course. It's this: I honor God with my finances. Now, this is a tough one. Staying on course with our finances can be difficult. I know. But when we talk about honoring God with our finances, really what we're talking about is the issue of stewardship. You see, it's easy for each of us to get caught up in the mindset of ownership. But that's not right. You see, God owns everything. When it comes to the resources in our life, we are managers or stewards. So God brings into our life resources, whether it's talents, our abilities, or for these purposes, money. So God brings this into our life and He wants us to steward it in a way that honors Him. Now, here's the key. Whatever we steward well in our life, God blesses that. So if you want God to bless your time, you need to manage it well. If you want God to bless your talents, you need to steward them well. And if you want God to bless your finances, you need to be a good steward of them as well. Here's what 1 Corinthians 16 says about how to do that. On the first day of each week, set aside some of which you have earned and use it as an offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you to earn. So God says, each time you get paid, you should set aside a portion of what you've earned for Him. Now, you know that we teach that what you should set aside is what the Bible refers to as a tithe. And quite simply, a tithe is the first 10%. So before everyone else gets paid in your life, God receives 10% of what He has entrusted to you. And in doing this, here's what you are saying: God has first place with my money. Now, God doesn't say this because He needs your money. God says this because He knows that when we do this, we're demonstrating our ultimate faith in Him. When you demonstrate ultimate trust with God through your finances, it strengthens the relationship and you're able to see how God is more active in your life. And you're putting Him first with your finances. And by doing that, you'll bring blessings into your life in this area. Look at what 2 Corinthians 8 says about this. Just as you excel in everything else, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and complete earnestness, see that you also excel in giving, in the grace of giving. So God wants each of us to excel in the grace of giving, and by doing that, it'll help you stay on course. Now, let's review. So far, we've talked about four of the five habits that will keep you on course. Apply what I read in the Bible. Pray personal prayers. Invite my friends. And we also have to have the habit of giving in our lives. Now, what I want you to note is that we have talked about these pretty quickly. Here's what I want you to know about the fifth habit. This is the one habit that if you get it, will make the implementation of the other four habits easier. It'll help keep you on course on those other four habits a lot better. Let me see if I can explain why. Here it is. I actively participate in biblical fellowship. That's the fifth habit. Now, quite simply, biblical fellowship is the type of friendship that helps you grow in your faith. So if you have friends that are going to help you in these other four areas, it'll just stand to reason that it's going to make it easier. I mean, you aren't trying to do this on your own. And God never intended for you to try to do this alone. You see, God created you to have a relationship with Him, and He created you for relationship with others. And no one can make it alone. I mean, if you try to implement these four habits, and you try to stay on course for what God's will is for your life, and you try to do this by yourself, I can make you a guarantee that you'll fail. You'll fail because God never intended you to try to do this alone. But I know some people, this is tough to get because some people are so driven. They're just, you know, I guess maybe a nicer way of saying this is they're a little self-absorbed. It's just all about you and what you can get out of life. And you don't care about anyone else. You have your course plotted out, and you're just hitting the ground running, and you don't care about anyone else. Well, listen, I want to offer you a warning today. If you continue to do that, you'll bring harm into your life. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. But eventually, harm will find you out. Look at what Ecclesiastes says about this. Two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. If people who are alone, when they fall, they are in a lot of trouble. You see, if you continue to be alone, you will find yourself in trouble. But some of you are a lot closer to this than you think. I mean, you're one phone call away. You're one meeting of the boss away from finding yourself in real trouble. You are one unanticipated event in your life away from finding yourself in trouble because you're alone. Proverbs 27:17. People learn from one another just as iron sharpens iron. My prayer for you is that you'll learn from each other and you'll be sharpened and you'll be able to stay on the course that God has for your life. Let us pray. So God, we pray that you'll keep us on course. Help us to be able to respond in a way that honors you with these habits that we've talked about today. Help us to not be foolish enough to think that we can do this by ourselves, but surround ourselves with friends who will provide biblical fellowship to help our growth. And in doing that, we'd be able to stay on course that you have for our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.